Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I actually went to my doctor and was like talking to her about what was happening, and she convinced me, like, you're depressed. Mm. And I was like, that's not depression. What do you mean? She was like, you're a Black woman and you're high functioning. So yeah, these little fits of crying, like, you're depressed. This not sleeping, your heart's constantly racing, the sweats that you're getting, that is your body trying to get your attention.
Jesus.
And if you don't take care of yourself, I'm afraid for you.
Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era Podcast with me, Gia Peppers. Amber Riley is a star, and we've known that for a while now. She's given us powerful performances as a teenager on Glee, as the winner and the only person to ever win both Dancing with the Stars and The Masked Singer. And now she's in a new film as a full-grown woman doing very scary things on Single Black Female 2, which is now streaming on the Lifetime movie app. All in all, she is no stranger to sharing her talents with us, and she's no stranger to sharing her mental health journey. In this episode, we discuss the varying ways that Amber has tapped in to activate the healing in her life. Listen as Amber opens up about the different eras and aspects of her healing journey and what she's learned along the way. A powerful new episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast, starts now.
What's up, y'all? I'm Gia Peppers. Welcome back to Healed Girl Era, the podcast. I am so excited to be in LA. That's where I live now anyway, but you know, I be traveling a lot. And I'm really grateful to have this talented supernova of a human being with me today. She won. She's the only person to win both The Masked Singer and Dancing with the Stars. She's an icon on the mic and on the stage. Of course, the Glee era, iconic. But today we are talking about all things healing, and she's in a new movie, a sequel, because that's how you know if it's good, okay? If you get a second one, Single Black Female 2 is coming to Lifetime. Please help me welcome the iconic Amber Riley.
Hi.
We're matching.
Yes, we're totally matching.
We're matching, and it was not on purpose.
It was not planned.
Like, we literally walked in like the Spider-Man meme. Like,
yeah.
But I am so happy that you are here. You made it, honey. You look beautiful.
Thank you. I made it. It was a journey to get here, but I'm here, as Fantasia says, in the color purple.
Hallelujah. Look, woo, that, and every time I do hear that, I get chilled. You know, because that she just, ooh,
she bodied it.
She bodied that.
She's saying, as we knew she would.
Absolutely. But I am so honored to have you here. And you know what I forgot to do, and I'm going to keep
you know, streaming, because I think it's good to do this in real life. I always start with a word of prayer. And we all, and I missed it because we were just trying to get in here, y'all. Yes. Let me tell y'all something. So let's start with a word of prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to fellowship. Thank you for Amber. Thank you for seeing her to another year as she celebrates another birthday. Thank you for the provision to do this, to have this show. We ask that you just anoint this conversation. There are plenty of people who are tuning in, who are looking for confirmation that they are on the right path, that they belong here, that they are absolutely where you've made them and where what you've made them to be. Father, anoint our words, anoint this conversation. May it be open and beautiful. May it be all that you want it to be. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Now that we done that, how are you feeling? How are you doing right now?
Ooh, that's a real question. I knew that you were going to ask that. As soon as I got here, I was like, she's going to ask me how I am, and I'm going to have to be honest. Not great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's been a week. I think everyone is just feeling, you know, there's just like this atmosphere in general of just anxiousness and stress. Yes. And like, you know, I'm just looking for some consistent peace. So, like, it has not been the best week. I have to be completely honest. I did not cope well this week.
No, and you know what? I'm in the, like, my friends and I were talking about it, especially those of us in entertainment, like, the work has been very dry. Like, am I black? Because I thought it was Black History Month. Usually we can do some things with black. Am I no longer black?
This is supposed to be my month, guys, and I'm not feeling
love. The industry said, look, now we don't got it for y'all no more. And it's just so overwhelming and scary sometimes. But then I'm also like, you know what? God has seen us through really difficult times before, and he ain't going to leave us now. We done come through too much. But I love that you're honest about it. And I love following you. You are
my shenanigans.
I love your shenanigans. I feel like I'd be in the gym with you. I'd be in the house with you. And I love that you are in this era of like, I am just going to be open about whatever I'm going through. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get to that point? Like, is that something recent for you?
I think to my friends, I've always pretty much been an open book. Mm. I've always been the kind of person that, like, wants to help. And I've found people open up to you when you're vulnerable with them first. Mm. And I've just always been vulnerable first. And that's just, like, been my preset.
Yeah.
I think publicly, I feel like I kind of just one day just started to just be myself and, like, couldn't really hide who I was. And I want to say that it was around the pandemic.
Yep.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think the only way to kind of be social during that time was online.
Yeah.
And I think I just started doing a lot of lives and connecting with people. And, you know, Instagram and social media can be a lot of things, but I've found that it really can be a community if you foster it that way.
I love that. Yeah, no, you are really great at it. I want to get better at fostering my community. My issue is I grew up in the time where everybody, and I'm sure you remember this, when everybody was like, whatever you post on social media will be till the death of you. If you post something wrong, you will not get a job.
That's true.
Yo, I was like, they don't scare me so much, but even like I had a lot of like women mentors who are amazing, but they came up in a time where you couldn't be all things and be successful.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't be sexy and be a boss and, you know, lead a boardroom. Mm-hmm. You couldn't wear a bathing suit online or else you would be judged. And now I love that, especially millennials, we're like, who said that?
Right. I think we're trying to get to a place because I still, like, I have mentees that are younger than me. And I look at them and be like, you gonna post that?
Right.
You don't want to take that down. But, you know, for them, they live their whole entire lives online.
And they don't care.
They don't give a good one.
They're like.
Whereas me, I still feel like I share what I want to share, but I'm definitely a lot more vulnerable about, like, mental health and things of that nature because I feel like people just need it.
Yes.
People really just need it, and they need to see someone that they, you know, may look up to or admire. They need to see you be human and real to understand, like, you're not alone. Like, you're not alone.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We're going to get to the mental health part of this conversation. But I want to start out with single black female, too.
Yeah!
Because the first one really ate the girls up. And I'm the girls. I was not ready for you at all to be that crazy.
Yeah.
But you played that role. Okay. So tell me why. What is happening in two? Because I thought it was done. I thought it was done.
I mean, there are definitely some surprises in two. A lot of people are looking at me so weird now when they see me because they're like, I was so excited to do a thriller, though. Yeah. You don't normally see black women doing a lot of thrillers. Yeah. You don't normally see us being the villain either. Mm. So, like, I was just excited when I read the script. And then to do that with Raven Goodwin and Kay Michelle, who are also just friends of mine, phenomenal actors. That was Kay's first, you know, movie. And she did such an awesome job. And, you know, Raven, who has been in this business literally since she could talk.
Wow.
Phenomenal actor. And it was just, you know, it was such a great, like, soul sister on set.
It looks like y'all are actually friends. Yes. Like, it looks like y'all have a chat. And I'm like, girl.
Yeah.
What time are you going to go out tonight? Because I'm tired. The shooting was way too long. Like, it looks like y'all have a real chat.
We did. We had a lot of fun shooting it. But, you know, it was fun. The reception from it was amazing. Over 8.1 million views across all platforms. Like, 5 million in, like, I think 1 weekend or something like that. Like, the reception has been phenomenal. Wow. And people still stream it. And, like, so part two is even, you know, even more suspense. You get a little bit more into the characters. Like, it's just, it's... Yes, it's yummy. And you find out some things about Simone. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? So
we find out why she
You gotta watch. You're gonna find out more information about Simone.
You stream, so it'll be on Lifetime Movie?
It'll be Network? On Lifetime the app.
Oh, it'll be on the Lifetime app.
It'll be on the Lifetime app. And I wanna say, like, if you have like Hulu and you have Lifetime, you can watch it on Hulu. Like, yeah, but it's on the Lifetime app.
It's too much math. Yeah, but I believe
the math
you.
Be math.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into Amber. I am so excited because I know you love mental health. And I'm like, yes, the person for the job. But Healed Girl Era is a show that is really about the eras of our lives that defined us and the lessons we learned along the way to share with the people who might be in the eras that we survived. Yeah. And so I want to go back to Baby Amber era. Baby Amber in Compton. And your childhood, I know, was not an easy one. I know that you definitely were exposed to a lot of things that children really shouldn't be exposed to, especially black children. But we are. Yeah. We can be exposed to those. But what was, you know, little Amber like? Tell me about, like, what you dreamed about, what you loved, and what life was like for you when you were, like, coming up.
Well, for little Amber, it's so funny, like, I think I was manifesting before I knew what manifestation was.
Wow.
So, like, when I was a kid, very rambunctious, like, to my family, you know, talkative. I would always tell my mom, I don't need to clean my room. I'm going to have a maid. I'm never going to drive. I'm going to have a butler. Like, a driver, like, a chauffeur. Like, I didn't know.
Literally same.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, no, I don't need to school.
What are you talking
about?
I'm
going to be famous.
I'm going to be rich and famous.
Thank you.
I don't need these skills that you... Accountant. Like, what are you talking about? I need these basic ass skills.
Math.
So that was basically me. And it's like, it's so funny because I always spoke that way about myself. And my parents just always knew it. So, like, it was never even a fight when I was pursuing music or acting. It wasn't a fight with them. They kind of just always knew, like, hey, she's been talking like this since she's 5.
Wow.
Like, you didn't have to drag me out of bed to come and perform for your friends.
Mm.
I'm ready. What do you want me to sing? Would you like a play? You want a musical? Mm. Like, I used to do impressions. Like, I just loved to entertain people. Mm. That was me as a kid.
I know that your mommy was a singer, is a singer as well.
Yes.
And you have sisters and you are the baby of the family.
I am.
So, was there ever, like, a time where it was going to be, like, the Jackson 3? Like,
No. Are you the only singer? My two older sisters, they can sing.
Okay.
You're not getting them on stage in front of a mic. My mom forced my middle sister to sing at church once, and she literally was, Like, she, they just don't, the camera, that's just not them.
So it was all you. It like, was they just were like, me. Call Amber because they're not playing. Interesting.
It was just, well, me and my mom. Yeah. We're the ones that love the stage. My sisters, my dad, no.
That's so interesting.
No.
Usually, there's more than one in a family that is, like, musically inclined in the siblinghood.
Mm-mm. My oldest sister is a therapist, and my middle sister works in the medical field. Like, they're not about it. I mean, I think they could if they wanted to. I'm sure. Both actually can sing. Really sing. We have similar tones. Like, no. But you'll never hear it.
Okay. So we will not be getting the sisters. No. The Riley sisters.
I've tried, y'all. I've tried. I was like, we should surprise mom for her birthday and sing a song. And my oldest sister literally will start to, like, almost cry.
So when do you remember someone that wasn't in your family being like, you should pursue this as a dream?
Oh my gosh.
Not a dream, as a career.
You know what? I really do attribute church being the reason that I pursued it, because not that necessarily someone said it to me, I was just encouraged to sing. Like, when I would sing, I would see their reactions, and then I'll be asked to sing more and more. And this is, like, as a kid, like, doing special music or leading a choir, and I'm, like, 9.
Wow.
You know, so, like, that, and I'm not seeing any other of the other kids doing that, you know? There was a woman, her name is Jackie Goucher. She's actually Sir Davion. I grew up with Sir.
Oh.
D Smoke and Davion.
The family.
Yeah, I grew up, and their mom was my worship leader when as a kid.
Not y'all having a choir.
Yeah, and Terrace Martin, too. We all grew up in this.
I need y'all to recreate the children's choir.
I literally just walked up to Terrace, like, you probably don't remember me, but I remember you. I went to Bible and worship in that. Oh, my God. Like, you know.
That's so dope.
We all kind of grew up together. Their mom was my worship leader, and I just used to look up to her. Her and my mom were just, like, the best singers in the world.
Wow.
You know, best singers in the world to me. And so getting encouragement from even her growing up was like, whoa.
Yeah. No, because there's something about the church that really just, like, sets the stage for who you can be. Like, I also grew up singing in the choir, also grew up, like, announcements and, all right, bless God today, saints, amen. And those are the first, you know, times that you get to use your voice, and it's like all eyes on you. Mm-hmm. And it's very scary.
Yes.
But if you do well,
yeah.
Even if you don't, they still like, all right, baby, take your time. It's all right. Let them use you.
Yes.
You know, you still get that encouragement. You get the encouragement.
It makes you brave.
Exactly.
It really does make you brave. And, like, black people are the most encouraging, but also can be like, they're going to roast you too.
They're going to roast you. But after a certain age.
After a certain age.
When you're little, they're like, all right.
But here's the thing. As you get older, once you kind of, like, have endured that and you've learned, like, it made me be okay on bigger stages in front of different types of people. Because, like, I've been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in front of the hardest audience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they'll tell you ain't got no anointing. Sit down. Mm. You know what I'm saying? At the church. Like, you know. So I feel like it was just such a great training. Mm. Such great training for what it is that I do now.
I love that. Do you remember the solo, your first solo?
Prayer Away by Yolanda Adams.
They gave you...
Yeah.
They gave you work.
Yeah. My mom, I mean, like, also, I used to sing at home with my mom.
Yeah.
My mom had, we used to go to this place called The Lighthouse, which was a Christian bookstore, and you can buy performance tapes there. So my mom would take me to go buy performance tapes. She would get some, too, and we would just sing songs. Like, we would literally sing Karen Clark, Helen Baylor?
I think so.
I think it's Helen Baylor. Like, all these... iconic, artists. I've been singing that since I was little.
That is amazing. Yeah. Okay, can I get a little bit of One Prayer Away?
Oh, gosh. I'm so hoarse. I am just a prayer away. Call my name with your heart, and I'll hear every word you say. When you cry at night, I'll wipe your tears away. Just pray, my love, and I'll be there right away.
Hold it! Yeah.
That was hard to get. But I didn't warm up on that.
No, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but that was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Amber Riley. All right, I'm not gonna ask you to sing again. When you said that song, I was like, I need to hear.
That was one of my favorite songs.
It's such a good song, and it's so calming. And Yolanda just gets it. Okay,
she does.
Okay, so we're gonna move to when you started putting yourself out there.
Yes.
And I know one of the first big auditions was American Idol.
Yes.
And you didn't make it, which is okay. Michael Jordan didn't even make his high school basketball team the first time. It's all right. It happened.
I was devastated, bruh.
Was that your
devastated
first major rejection?
Yes.
And how old were you?
I think I was 17.
Oh, so you were like a baby.
I was 17. So before then, actually, when I was in high school, I did a TV show called Saint Sass with Ryan Murphy, who I did Glee with.
Yeah.
Actually, and we shot a pilot. It was myself. Delta Burke.
Okay.
She was the lead in it. And so that was my very first big, like, audition. And back then, you know, we recorded shows in front of a live
studio
audience. They don't really do that a lot anymore. So
I wish they would.
Yeah, but it was like, I was like so freaking nervous. But that was my first big audition. And for singing, yes, American Idol was the first, like, time somebody heard me sing and was like, no, pass. Like, what?
Right. Like, me?
No one's ever told me no before. What are you talking about?
do you know who I am? It is me.
I needed that no, though. I did. I feel like I needed, I think it was the no that I needed to push forward. Like, I needed that type of rejection to understand that doesn't change who I am.
Come on.
And that doesn't change what I have. And also, it's just not the avenue. It wasn't how it was supposed to happen, because I still ended up working for Fox. I just got paid for it. If I wasn't on American Idol, I was going to be singing for free.
Woo! Tell it. Tell the truth. Okay? Because that's something that people don't realize. But no, that's a really great point. I mean, our relationship to no and rejection has to be stronger when we're in entertainment, because we face it so much. Yes. Like, literally every single day, someone's like, hey, I have this. No. You don't even want to hear? No. Like,
People love to say no.
And then you'll see them out and like, girl, that was such a good idea. Yeah. I actually reshot it with a different person. And you're like,
what? Fight me.
So fight.
Immediately.
But then if you fight, then you never work again. Like,
exactly.
It's just... Y'all, if y'all really knew. But
it's a delicate balance.
Yeah. But is your relationship to rejection, is that what formed and informed it? Or at that time, were you like, I am devastated. I'm never going to do this again.
Oh, I was definitely devastated.
Yeah.
Like, I was definitely devastated. I was just like, I am terrible. I suck. Like, I'm not special. Like, all those things kind of came into my mind. And I just kind of had to regroup. I think I learned to regroup, because, like, listen, this is a taste of what you're going to experience in this business. You're going to have to figure it out. Like, you can't want to quit every single time you get a no, which I ain't saying I've gotten that much better with.
It still hurts, y'all. It still hurts.
I ain't got that much better with rejection. I just have seen, like, when you keep going, that kind of hard work and consistency does pay off.
It really does. That just made me think of Victoria and Coco. Just shout out to the Grammys. Was just so awesome to watch when Victoria said that speech about the roots and the blossoming. And I know you all worked together when you were signed to a record label. What was that moment like for you watching
Oh my gosh. I went to her best friend's house, Candace.
Oh, that's right. You were in that video. Yeah, y'all was screaming. I saw that on TikTok.
And her and I share a mutual best friend. Wow. And so we were all watching. And it's just, the thing about it is, Victoria is an incredible artist and writer. Like, she's the first person that I wrote with that I felt actually got me and made me so comfortable in the studio. We have so many songs that we've written together. But she's also an amazing person.
Yeah.
And when you see someone that's an amazing person and also, like, wildly talented, like, it's just, and a hard worker.
Yeah.
So seeing that made me, I cried. Like, I was so unbelievably happy for her, because I understand that moment of when you finally get to be seen. Ooh. When someone actually sees you. Like, I get that moment of working so, like she said, working underground for such a long time, and you finally spring up above ground and you get this.
Mm.
As soon as you bloom. Like, ah, what an amazing, inspiring.
Yes.
Inspiring moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's like, there's so much that happens when you're being rooted.
Yeah.
That can throw you off of it completely. Like, that's why a lot of people leave this business, because you do all this work and then nobody cares, and you're like,
yep,
I spent $3,000.
Yeah.
I came on time. I did my job. I was great. And they're like, anyway, next. And it does start to shape you in a way that might break you down if you don't learn to heal it.
Or jade, or make you jaded. Or, you know, make you entitled.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of ways that you can view that. But like she said, you can, when you're being rooted or buried and doing the work underground, you can see it as dirt and disgusting and waste, or you can see it as fertilizer.
Mm.
And I was like, that's such an amazing analogy, because I have to believe that everything that is happening to me, even now, I have to believe that there's a reason for it. I have to believe that. And like, that's why faith, and no matter if you're a Christian or not, faith is still faith. It's still a thing. So whatever it is that you have faith in, even if it's just in yourself, if it's in your talent, if it's in your ability, it's so important to have it. And hope hurts. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. It does. Hope absolutely hurts. But it's imperative to keep it. It's imperative to keep the faith, like, because what's your purpose?
Mm.
What's driving you? What's your engine?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And like, I have these conversations with myself often, because you don't know how many times I say,
this is done.
I'm ready to go. What
can I do?
I can be in corporate.
Period.
I'm a very smart person.
Yes, you are.
I can do other. But
I'd buy anything from you.
This is what I love.
You were called, you're anointed to do it. That's the thing that a lot of people don't really, really realize, is I think people think that we choose to do this and it's like, oh my God, like, I love every moment. I would do this in my sleep. Nothing bad ever happens to me. And it's right. Like, girl, y'all don't even know what it took for us to get out of this bed. Like, when you don't have something to do, or you're not on a set, you almost feel misaligned with like your everyday life. And I had to learn during the pandemic, my days where I wake up and make my coffee and journal and do my, those matter just as much as the days I'm on set. Like, I had to learn very quickly, because I was in a space where I was like, Lord, I don't even want to live. Like, I was like, this is like, forget career.
Yeah.
I am done with life.
Yeah.
It's too much. These people done lost their minds. 2020 was crazy. I said, no. And that's when I got into therapy.
Yeah.
And I know you are in therapy, and you are not the one to play about no therapy.
No.
I know you are years in, and it has really mattered to you. And so when was your like draw flashpoint when you like, I gotta get some help?
2019, I flew back from Dallas. I had a gig in Dallas, flew back, me and my assistant. I started feeling really weird. Like, I just start feeling like uncomfortable. My heart was always beating really fast. I wasn't sleeping. I think Thanksgiving, my family came over and they were like, oh, we forgot. I don't remember what my mom forgot, but she was like, you can go to the grocery store. I had my niece with me. Yeah, fine. Still feeling very weird, right? Like almost like in a dream, but not a good dream. Just like half awake, half asleep, right? And I had my niece with me, and she's probably, I think she was about 9 at the time. And when I got into that grocery store, I had the worst panic attack.
Wow.
But do you know what's crazy? I was shielding it from my niece. I was like, Tiani, can you go get, I had to have the panic attack not in front of her so I can quickly regroup to get her home. I could barely drive home because I couldn't even concentrate.
Wow.
That is how bad it was. But I started to see that was the analogy for my life. I did all of that in private. Wow. And I never let anybody see it. I took all the stress. I took all the anxiety, all of the bad thoughts, all of the dark thoughts, and I hid it away from my whole entire family. Mm. And I laughed and kiki-kied the rest of Thanksgiving. I kept going upstairs to cry, wipe my face off,
and come back,
breathe, down. Wait till I'm not puffy, come back downstairs.
Wow.
Until it got to a point where I couldn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Where my body said, if you're not going to take care of us emotionally, we're going to shut you down physically. And that is exactly what happened.
That is, like, first of all, thank you for sharing that, because I know so many of us can literally relate. It's scary because you don't want to disappoint your people. Like, that's why therapy is so important. I tell people, it's scary that it's still a privilege and that a lot of people can't afford it. And yeah. I really want to figure something out where I can, like, help women get therapy, because Black women especially need to be in yeah. therapy for free. This country has really done enough. Thank
yeah.
you. But when I think about the reality that so many of us don't want to disappoint our parents, mm-hmm. we don't want our siblings and our friends to worry about us. Mm-hmm. We can't even really, like, if I really sit down and, like, think about the times where I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. Like, sometimes you can cry in the mirror and you're like, ooh, I'm going through it. But you got this. Mm-hmm. On those really dark days, you don't even get up to see no mirror. You just like, whatever. I don't even care.
Yep.
And so I understand, like, having your fits and coming back down, putting off your feelings and putting back on your responsibilities and the hats that people expect you to wear. Mm-hmm. So in therapy, when did you realize where that came from? Well, did you ever have a moment where you were like, oh, I watched somebody do that, or that's how I learned to cope?
This world makes us that way.
Mm.
Black women especially.
Mm.
Black people in general always say, support the Black man, da-da-da-da, the Black man. But, like, what about us? We are literally conditioned to take care of everyone and expected to take care of everyone but ourselves. And when we take care of ourselves, we're either masculine.
Mm.
When we protect ourselves, we're masculine. Or we're selfish.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Or we're not. It's so many labels when a Black woman wants to just take care of herself herself.
Yep.
And I actually went to my doctor and was, like, talking to her about what was happening, and she convinced me, like, you're depressed.
Mm.
And I was like, that's not depression. What do you mean? She was like, you're a Black woman and you're high functioning. So, yeah, these little fits of crying, like, you're depressed. This not sleeping, your heart's constantly racing, the sweats that you're getting, that is your body trying to get your attention.
Jesus.
And if you don't take care of yourself, I'm afraid for you. You need to get on medication. Excuse me?
Medication? I know.
What are you talking about? I still do this. Nope. You need to get on medication. And so she recommended a psychiatrist for me to speak to. And I spoke to the psychiatrist and I was just like, I just don't want to, I can't even be still. I'm so anxious. I'm like this.
Wow.
Like in the thing, like, yeah, And one thing that she said to me, she said, you're afraid to take medication, and I'm afraid for you not to. And I said, okay, I'll try it.
Mm.
Saved my life.
Wow.
Saved my life.
That is so powerful. Because so many people especially are afraid to just get to the step because of the stigmas around what medication looks like in a healing journey. But God made therapists and God made medication and
yep.
God made the things so we could regulate all this stuff that's happening within our bodies.
And I told my mom that. When I had the conversation with my mom is actually a life coach, and I had the conversation and she was just like, well, there's not a natural way for you to do it and blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist or a chemist or anything like that. I can only speak to my experience. If I did not take that medication, I would not be here.
My God.
100%. I would not be here. What it did was just, it literally just took all the crowdiness out of my mind so that I can actually sit in therapy.
Mm. Wow.
And be able to, and working through that therapy, like, my goal was I don't want to be relying on this medication, not just because it's an antidepressant, but I really don't want to be on any
anything. Right.
I really don't want to be on anything that long. Maybe that was my own stubbornness, but like a goal for myself. And, you know, after a couple of years, I was able because I learned great skills. I was in therapy for almost that was 2020. I've been in therapy for 4 years. Wow. And, you know, after two, I was able to, after changing my eating habits and working out and figuring out the things that worked for me, I was able to wean myself off of that medication because I definitely gained like 40 pounds on that.
Right. Because that's the reality. That's the reality too, right? Like, yep. Medications come with side effects.
Hey, I'll take it because I was here. Hello? You know what I'm saying? I was here.
She was here. I am so proud of you, black girl.
Thank you.
I have to say that because this is not an easy decision for a lot of us to make.
No.
And the fact that you said it out loud, I'm sure, will absolutely be the difference for people watching. And I love that you shared that as part of your story.
Yeah.
So after two years, you were able to stop taking the medication and you were in therapy. What were some of those tools that changed the game for how you saw life? Like, wow. In therapy, we learn all these tools.
I think behavioral therapy really worked for me because I was dealing with a lot of thoughts that I wasn't able to kind of capture, and reframing was a really big deal for me. It helped me understand this is the way that I think and these are the things that I needed to work on.
Wow.
The depression was very, it was brought on, like triggered. Like my depression came from triggers, certain triggers and stuff that I had. But the reframing was a really big thing for me. There's a doctor, her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. I love to read her books, and she talks about the neurological side of how your thoughts affect you physically. And I started reading her books. And along with my therapist, like my therapist actually started reading her books, and we would talk about some of the things that we, you know, we read and put those assignments into our therapy session. But reframing was a really big thing for me because there's no amount of positivity that is going to change your sadness, like your, or depression. You can say the positive things, but it's literally not going to penetrate. I had to reframe because I live in reality. So instead of, gosh, I'm not working, you know, I'm not working right now, and being depressed about not working right now, is I have the opportunity for rest.
So good.
I have time to plan. I have the space that other people normally don't really have to create and be creative. I can, oh my God, I have the opportunity to spend time with my mom. You know, it's the reframing. Really changed my life. Oh, capturing really bad thoughts. I used to have the worst thoughts before I sang. I remember the day after I came out of from underneath that cloud, and my very first performance, because I was dealing with agoraphobia I didn't leave my house for 3 months.
Wow.
Didn't leave my house. And my first time out being in public, I sang at this place called Sayers Club, which it doesn't exist anymore. So I'm so sad.
I know. I want to be going to all of... I thought I was going to come to L.A. and be at the little clubs and the jazz
club. All the places we used to sing, they shut them down.
You got to bring them back.
But I used to sing there all the time, and I remember being in the back, and all these thoughts started coming to my head, and I was able to capture them.
Wow!
For the first time, I didn't even know. We have so many ruminating thoughts that go around in our heads that we don't even actually, they're so normal to us now that we don't even capture them. And I remember standing in the back before going out to sing and thinking, they're not going to hear you sing. They're just going to be looking at how big you got.
Wow.
You know, they don't really think that you're talented. They're just used to you.
Ooh.
I remember having all of these ugly thoughts about myself, and I literally audibly said no. And I remember my homeboy goes, what? And I go, nothing. And I remember saying to myself, that's not true. Is that true? Is that based in reality? Do you know what those people out there are thinking? Mind reading is another thing I learned in cognitive behavioral therapy. You're mind reading right now. You don't know what them people are thinking. They may think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
And we do. just in case.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know that. Mm. So go out there and do what you know. What you do know is you can sing. That's what you do know.
Vocals, mic is always on.
So go out there and do what you know.
Wow.
I promise you, that was the best, even if it wasn't my best vocal, whatever, that was the best feeling and connection I've ever had on stage from that moment on. From that moment on. Mm. The best. I remember that.
That's amazing.
Feeling so free. The most free I've ever felt.
Woo.
Because I captured this.
You finally got it. Like the lessons, all the things you were learning in therapy, the methods you used them outside of the
clicked.
Hour.
Finally.
Oof.
Finally freaking clicked.
I always ask at the end, what thing are you most proud that you accomplished from, you know, the lessons that you learned? And that's got, I'm sure that's one of them, to be like, no, I can control what I think and what I say to myself. And I think you learned how to be your own friend.
Yeah.
Like you got on your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really amazing way to put it. I was my own friend because I would never let my friends talk about themselves like that.
Like,
I would never.
I think I hear Sarah Jake say it a lot, and because she says it a lot on her podcast, mm-hmm. that, like, don't talk to my friend that way.
Yeah.
Like, when we are like, girl, I was a mess last night. Like, she's staying. And I can da 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 da. And I've heard her say, like, don't talk to my friend like that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I have to do that where I'll be like, who am I talking? Me?
Me?
The one person that I have to be on my team, other than like my sister, brother, yeah. But the one person you need on your team is yourself.
100%.
If we can't find home in ourselves, in our minds, in our spirits, in our bodies, we will not be able to do anything well. Anything. Mm-hmm. You go to the grocery store, somebody open the door for someone else and they don't hold it for you. Oh, they hate me? Oh, so now we gotta fight. Now I'm angry. Now I'm triggered. I remember that time in sixth grade when Johnny didn't hold the door for me and then he kicked me in the shin. Like, it really is that deep. That's how crazy it is. And so I'm so grateful that you shared that lesson. Y'all, really, I'm telling you, be your friend.
Be your best
Sarah ain't a liar, honey. Okay. Now, let me get to this next question because I love that we had the therapy talk. Shout out to everybody in therapy. And I want to figure out a way to, like, fund some therapy for some girls who really need it, some young women. Because, I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here without that.
And we need more Black therapists. We need more people. Like, I started my journey to go back to school, and then I started working again. So I have to figure it out.
Yeah.
But we need
more Black therapists.
For like, my therapist was like, you need to take that step.
Mm.
Like, you need to do it. And I'm like, oh.
My gosh.
Doctor, back in school.
Dr. Amber Riley, please. I'm not saying you got to do it soon. I know you got a lot to accomplish. You got to take some night classes.
I would love that, though.
Once a week, please.
Not doctor, but just.
No, I just think anybody with a PhD is. I'm just going to call you doctor, and either if you do or not. Okay. So here we go. Oh, my God. Because I go back to the Glee era. Because I love me some you on Glee, okay?
You watch Glee, I couldn't tell. Theatrical. The theatrics. Okay.
No. Didn't watch That's So Raven. Didn't watch One on One. Didn't watch Sister Sister.
Oh, any of those.
Or Moesha.
Or Moesha. None of those things.
I never watched those shows. No, girlfriends? Absolutely not. Okay, so.
I'm screaming.
First of all, the Ain't No Way cover. Okay, because I just need y'all to realize you can't do Aretha. People can't do Aretha, and you did Aretha.
I did.
Did Auntie Aretha ever?
Yeah, she actually posted me on her Facebook, said that I did a really great job.
Do you know Aretha don't like nobody?
Nobody.
And she said, this baby got it.
She did. Yeah, she did. They posted it on their socials, and I was floored.
Yeah, because she didn't like nobody.
Nobody.
And rest in peace. These girls can't do it, huh? Can't hold a candle.
I mean, like, here's the thing, though. It's Aretha.
That's what I'm saying. What we gonna do?
Aretha is a noun, verb, and an adjective.
Girl, okay, Aretha. Get that Aretha. It's giving, like, Aretha.
It's
for
giving
sure.
Aretha.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You Aretha that.
You Aretha that real good.
Real good.
Real good. Yeah, I'm gonna start saying that to you next, every time I see you. Girl, did you Aretha? All right. As long as you Aretha it, it's good. Now, but the show, you were on this hit show, Out the Gate. y'all was every, I mean, it was Glee madness, Glee mania. You went from the pilot and the American Idol, and then finally, is that what you were saying when you were talking about what you know what it feels like to be seen? Was that your moment where you felt seen for the first time or no?
No, actually, that wasn't. Mm. I honestly, when I was on Glee, felt like that was my moment to learn. Mm. Like, I don't think that Glee was my moment.
Oh, for me, it was your moment.
Oh, okay, well. Yeah.
But, you know, I see myself in any black girl.
A lot of
like, if it's
say,
a black girl on screen, it's me.
A lot of people keep saying that to me. I'm just like, it really wasn't. But I appreciate it, though.
We needed to see you. Because if we didn't have you, I probably wouldn't have watched the show, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would have been like, ain't no black girls on there.
Yeah.
So it's not for me. I'll go back to watching One-on-One. Thank you. But... But okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay, so that was your learning moment.
I felt like it eventually, like, of course, when I got on the show, that's what I wanted. Yeah. Like, I wanted it to be my moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, then I realized, like, okay, this wasn't created for me. I'm a part of this, but this wasn't created for me.
Yeah.
And it kind of just turned into a job eventually for me. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do my job. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I really didn't feel seen until I did Dreamgirls on the West End.
Ooh.
That's when I felt sick.
Effie White.
Yes. Effie Denise White. I think that was her middle name. I think
that would make sense. And well, what about that made you feel seen? Because you were able to like utilize all your talent.
I think so. It was the first time that I really got to show my acting chops.
Mm.
Like on Glee, I kind of had like the one liners, the one moments, you know, the kind of like smaller step out moments. But I actually got to do a character that had an arc and show. Even though the singing, you know, was paramount, the acting along with the singing was also just as important.
Yes.
You can't just stand there and sing. You had to have character. You have to have the character and the story.
Yeah.
And being able to do that every night not only was an amazing training ground for me, but that instant gratification that you get and that connection that you have with a live audience and singing your heart out like that, it was just... I finally felt seen, and like I got to give all of me. And I think that is what it is being seen, when you finally give all of yourself. When you finally give all of yourself and it's accepted. That's what being seen is to me.
What an affirmation. Like, yes, that's when you give all yourself and somebody all else. And usually by the time you get seen, you've been not seen for so long that you get comfortable. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't care if they see me or not. I have to be okay with me.
Yeah.
So what an even better feeling when like you finally see yourself and the world seeing you is just a cherry on top.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, y'all ain't seen me
and
this long.
And there's this lie that goes around. You don't have to care about what other people think. No, you don't make what other people think your personality.
Mm.
Like you don't create your life around it. But it's important that we see each other.
Yes.
It's important that we connect with one another. It's important that we encourage one another and validate one another.
Yeah.
Validation is completely fine.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with outside validation. As long as you have inside validation.
Absolutely. You know, as long as you aren't like thirsty for it more than you are okay with what you already think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like, you know, in the midst of Glee, I know you dealt with a lot of, you know, Twitter was literally born in the same era that y'all were born in. In the Glee era, I'm sure it wasn't all fun.
Mm-mm.
We know that it was not as fun as we thought it was
now.
But like, how
no settings.
Right.
Ain't no such thing as an ensemble cast and it ain't no drama. I don't care how much y'all like each other.
Right.
Get here and lie to me if you want to.
It's going to be drama, okay? And we always find out about it after the fact. Because people got to keep their job.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you think about, was that your first time dealing with like the masses coming for you?
Oh, yeah. It was
and
the first
how did
time,
you deal with that?
It was the first time that I realized that this world hates black women. There's literally no reason for you to tell me that you want me to die. For what? Because me and this white girl sang the same song? It's a TV show.
It's a
show. Chill out. I guarantee you she wasn't getting the hate that I was. You know what I'm saying? It's the first time that I realized that. Like, oh, y'all really hate black women. You also hate talented black women and you hate confident black women. You don't like it. Like, that's when Twitter let me know real quick.
So who, So who did you go to during that time?
My mom. Mm-hmm. My mom and my sisters. I have an amazing village. My best friends, my mom, my sisters, my cousins, my dad. Mm-hmm. Like, if I need to know the truth, they'll tell me. Mm-hmm. If I need encouragement, I'll get it from them.
I love that you have that because this world is very loud and very crazy. Mm-hmm. And you were a whole, you know, young woman trying to navigate all of that.
And it was hard.
Yeah.
But I had a great, I have to say, I had a really good village around me.
I love that. Shout out to the village.
Yeah.
And when you think about that time now, I mean, first of all, what I think is so interesting is like the obsession that people have with Glee now. Mm. And like the discussions of like where, what happened on, and all the like notes that they try to like connect to things. What has been the craziest lie you've seen about Glee, and like what would you like, what is your take on why people are so obsessed with what happened on the set?
I think we live in like a reality show generation now, and everybody like thinks in order to love a show or love an artist, they have to know everything about them. You know, and like negativity is like enticing, and drama is just like enticing. People don't really see you as a person, understand the effect of it. They just are entertained by it.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand the ramifications. And like, yeah, you can turn your TV on and have that discussion and you're going to move in with your day. I lived it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that's just the world's obsession. But I literally, like I said, like online, I've fostered a really great positive community because if you, whatever it is that you say to me, I'm just going to ignore it. Like, I've just learned to ignore it. I'm completely secure in who I am. I may not always, you know, have the most love for myself or be the most positive, but I know to the core who I am. And I know for a fact your opinion is not going to change it. So I don't care what it is. I'm not going to argue back and forth with you. And because I don't, I just don't get the hate anymore.
I love that.
I don't respond. I just don't respond to it. Like, you're really wasting your time over here. I'm not even going to block you. Wow. I'm just going to ignore you.
That is far.
And I'm an Aquarius.
I still block. But I love that for you. I truly do. And because Twitter was nasty then. It was nasty now. Like, Twitter, X is a space. But one of the things that I know that was beautiful about that set is you and Naya's friendship.
Yeah.
And I'd be remiss to not honor her in this moment. I mean, I just still am not even sure, like, how to feel that she's really not here, but you were actually her friend.
Yeah.
How are you doing with the reality that, like, you know, she's no longer here? How's the grieving process going for you?
I mean, it's definitely not linear, but I always just love when people talk about her to take the time to say how phenomenal she was, you know, what an amazing mom and friend she was. She was the best hostess that you will ever know. If you went to Naya's house, like, oh, she was like, oh, you want to come over and watch a movie? You're getting charcuterie board, mood lighting, wine. Like, it's just, she was so grand and amazing, and so sad that the world didn't get to see how beautiful her mind was, as talented a singer she was, and actor, and how beautiful she was on the outside. That girl was quick. She was witty as hell. She was smart. Like, there were so many things that she has offered the world. Mm-hmm. And not to say while she was here that she didn't, you know, give the world some things that were already amazing, like her amazing son.
Yeah.
You know, I can't speak well enough about her.
Yeah.
And her, you know, she's, far be it for me to talk about grief when, you know, she has her mom and her dad and, you know, her siblings and her son, who's not going to grow up with their mom and you know, Josie's dad.
Yeah.
You know, they had a child together and he's raising him now. And so, but they, you know, are an amazing village and taking care of him. And it's sad. It's always going to be sad, you know, and it's always going to be hard when you think about the potential that we lost.
Yeah.
But we get to look back at what it is that she left and be happy, you know, looking at that.
Yeah, I love that. I had a friend, KK, who was killed when we were just graduating college. And, like, I remember being, like, and she was already a writer. She was writing for Vibe Vixen. This was had to be, like, 2013. And
Vibe Vixen, yeah. You know, remember, 2013.
You remember, we used to be popping, though.
Yeah, it was.
Like, we was all reading Vibe Vixen. Don't ever get it twisted. But, like, she was already, you know, that girl.
Wow.
And we were, like, we had just graduated college. It was the summer after. We all outside, graduation parties, you know. We get a call that she was shot in a drive-by shooting.
Wow.
And killed. Went back home to Boston. She went to school in New York and was killed in a car. And, like, that made me see life so different. Because I was 23, 24, and I was like, oh, life can end.
Oh, yeah, you felt your mortality. That's what happens. When someone close to you in your age dies, you feel so mortal.
It made me go after everything, finally, without fear, without judgment. Did it do that same for you? And I know that you've had other losses. I mean,
yeah, that
we also have Jazz.
Yeah, that wasn't the first one, yeah.
In common.
Oh, that almost, yeah. That one shook me.
Yeah, none of us were okay.
That one. Because you see so much potential, but it also, you know, when you talk about those people, you talk about the relationships and the conversations and not so much talking about the work, right? And so I'm learning, like, my value is not based on my production, what I can produce. You know what I'm saying? I want people to talk about my heart and, you know, how they felt in my presence and how they felt when they left my presence. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I can speak to about Naya. The first thing anybody is going to say when you talk about Naya is how she made you laugh.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? That's the number one thing is her personality in general. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're going to remember how you made them feel, not what you did.
You are preaching. Rest in peace to Naya and Jazz Waters, and we love you, and y'all are with us, and KK. Rest in peace to KK. Yeah. Woo, y'all, life be hard. Okay, let's get, I know we gotta wrap up soon. I have so many more questions for you, but I just gotta say, I'm loving our conversation so far. I think the most important thing that I have noticed, or one of the most important things that I've noticed lately, is that you are very much in love.
Yes.
Here for it.
Yeah.
Y'all are cute.
Thank you. We're fighting right now, but I still love them.
That's how relationships be.
Woo, baby.
People be forgetting. Like, relationships are hard work.
There is so much, like, humility and vulnerability that has to happen. I don't like it.
It's so annoying. I'm talking to Zoo now. I'm like, why you ain't answering my text?
Yeah, you mad at me right now. It's like, I'm mad at you too.
Period.
But I love you.
And y'all love, and y'all gonna love each other. But you also had a public relationship before that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you bounced back in a way that I've never seen. Like, most of the people that I know that have been through these public relationships, usually are like, I can't do love anymore. Like, public or private breakups. Like, they're like, love, how did you get to a space of, one, forgiveness and moving through it and opening your heart to love again?
I think I have always tried, how do I say this? I have always tried to be who I am. And one thing about me that I've always worked on is my ability to love, my desire to be loved and to be in love. And I will never let anyone or anything change that.
I love that.
For me. If I can, I've lent myself to so many people because I've always felt like God is going to make up the rest. I've always felt like I'm adjusting a little bit more to this next statement that I'm going to make. I've adjusted it a little bit, but for the greater part of my life, I've always said I can't be used by anyone because God is always using me, right? So you may think that you're taking something from me and that you're getting over on me, but God, no matter what it is that you got going on, because I'm not your judge, you had a need. Mm. God provided the need through me, and he's going to make up the rest. So you can't use me. He's using me. You think you're using me, but he's using me, and he's always going to replenish what it is that I give. I feel the same way about love.
Wow.
I don't have a certain amount of love that I have to give while I'm on this earth. I don't have that. No, nothing that anybody can do to me will keep me from pursuing that kind of love, that romantic love. And I'm not saying it wasn't hard, you know, to regroup and figure out, but I had a hot girl era after that. Period. Like, I was outside.
Period. About that
I was, like, outside.
Yeah.
Like, partying with my friends. I was with Savoy, too. He was outside with me.
Yo. And you were... and you a shooter. I am so afraid to shoot.
Oh, no, not me. I'm a flirt. If I could share some of what I pulled, I would.
Off camera. I think... Because I need training, okay?
I would.
I off camera, because I need... Savoy, it's for my dating life, okay? Oh, thank you. Yo, we're going to have to
go.
The
worst somebody can say to you is no. That's the worst that's going to happen. You just move on.
I am there in my career.
Yeah. You're like in the...
Dating? I'm be like, he said no, and now I can never date. But I'm working on that in therapy too, actively. Like,
people have gone and done, like, full-on YouTubes about me sliding in my ex's DMs. Like, they have these whole thoughts of... They've had... I've watched it all. Straight-up podcast with, like, my face on the thing, like, don't be like this one. Like,
dang, you know what I'm saying? Like, God, watch it. What do you be saying when you watch it? Like,
oh, me and my boyfriend are messy. Like, we find all this stuff. And I'm like, look what they're saying about you. Like, we're hilarious.
Do you comment?
No. Oh, because I think it's funny.
You're like,
I think it's... Oh, is that what I did?
Really?
All you're doing is making yourself visible. That's it. And then they take it from there. Like, you're not leading or pulling a relationship by saying hi.
Just hi.
I said hi. How are you?
How you doing?
So because I said hi first, I have no self-esteem.
Oh, yeah, that's
And I'm
weird.
Chasing a man?
That's
you weird. You're weird.
That's really weird.
You're weird.
What is the social network for? You got to be social.
You have to be social. And even when I'm out, like if I saw, I did the same thing with my boyfriend now. Yeah. I didn't slide in his DMs, but I definitely did this.
Oh, you stared at him like that?
Until he said something.
You just kept staring
at him. I'm bold.
I need your amber boldness. Because I got to get out of these single streets. You're trying to tear me apart. I'm just playing. But no, okay. Okay, yes to love. Yes to you and your boyfriend. You will be unmad soon.
Yes.
Okay, so.
I love
so
him. I love him.
You just talked a little bit about love and forgiveness. And you've been killing it on your Instagram. Because we coming back here because I think it's so important. You made this video about... I'm a black actress.
Yes.
Of course, I did it. Y'all know the trend. And it was amazing and hilarious.
I didn't see anybody do that one, so I was like, I'm just going to do
it. Exactly. And you said the one about take your... It was hilarious. But there's all this conversation right now about what black actresses are going through. We've seen Taraji. We've seen Monique. We've seen all the girls talk about all the things that black actresses have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, like, what they're saying, not just Taraji and Monique, but, like, what the consensus is, and what do you want to see changed in this business most? Like, I know we don't have time for the list, but when you think of, like, one or two things, what do you, like, that needs to be changed?
It's women in every industry.
Yeah.
It's not even just, like, Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, like, what she's saying shouldn't be shocking to people. Mm. What was sad to me is how accomplished of an actor that Taraji is and that she feels the same way that I do.
Ooh.
That is what was sad.
Yeah.
To the extent, because Taraji is such a light. She's such a light. And, like, I even noticed a somberness there.
Yeah.
And that could just be, I'm an empath. So, like, I just feel things, right? I even noticed a somberness there. And I saw how relieved she looked when she finally just got to say it out loud. I want better pay for us. I want roles, more lead roles. I can't wait to see that movie Magical Negro that's coming out because I have been the Magical Negro so many times. I'm tired of being the... I used to call it the Jiminy Cricket.
Not the Jiminy Cricket.
I called it the Jiminy... Magical Negro is the correct term, but I'd be like, I don't want to be Jiminy Cricket no more. So I'm going to be the one to swoop in and tell her that she's got it. Tell her she's stupid and what she's really actually supposed to do, which is really just being a mammy.
Jeez.
Because I'm babysitting. It's just a new way.
Yeah.
It really is.
No.
It's just a new way of being
no
a mammy.
No more Jiminy Cricket.
I don't want to be Jiminy
Cricket. No more mammies.
I don't even like green. I'm just kidding. I do like green.
But I love that you said that. And I really hope that Hollywood is listening. I don't know that they are.
Yeah.
But I hope.
Girl, this is another pod. This is,
this is a whole other day.
It's a whole other day because we could really talk
We can
about
really
it.
Get into it. But I want to get to our last two questions because we've got to go. Now, look, you are also a member of the DeLulu crew.
Yeah. The DeLulu captain. Is the Salulu.
Oh, there's a tagline.
Somebody, I didn't make that up. Somebody put it in my comments and I was like, yes.
DeLulu is the Salulu. Now, you literally were talking about on this video that things don't look perfect, but at the end of the day, you're going to believe it, believe that the right things are coming.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, 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 because a lot of us creatives have to be DeLulu right now.
Yes.
We just have to hold on to something.
And, you know, we're being funny. I'm being funny by saying delusional, but yes. Delusional.
Right.
Yeah, we have to be because what we're saying we're going to do, there's no possible. It's not possible. Nope. Like, it's not, there's no evidence of it. Yeah. I'll say that.
Yeah. There's nothing concrete.
No.
That will happen. I mean, delusional is kind of just faith in action as well.
It is. That's what I'm saying. I was being funny by saying it to get people's attention. I'm being hyperbolic, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love that because I want you to be super DeLulu right now as we end this. You are an EGOT.
Yes.
In 5 years.
Yes.
You have finally gotten the Tony to bring it all home. And you are on Instagram Live thanking your people. What is the speech?
What's the speech?
Yeah. And we're going to take this back in 5 years when it happens.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Take yourself there. You're home. You're in your mansion with your husband and possibly a 2-year-old.
Not a 2-year-old. Not you being a prophet, Lord. My speech would go, I think I would say for anyone that's watching this, I need you to know what's possible because I need people to watch you so that they can know what's possible and people to watch them so that they can know what's possible. It was a long road to get here. And I have to thank the ones before me that paved that way, like Jennifer Hudson and Whoopi Goldberg, that let me know. Nobody was yelling about an EGOT until Jennifer got hers, right? Black girls weren't. So I have to thank them. I have to thank my amazing parents for letting me be so delusional growing up, being a bad little girl that was telling what she was and wasn't going to do. My amazing sisters who've been my best support system and my best friends. I gotta thank my man. I have to thank my team because I have an amazing team. I have a black woman that is a manager. My manager, Maisha. I have an amazing publicist, Savoy Jefferson. My agency, I don't know if I'm gonna still be with them. I hope that I am.
You will.
But I just have to say thank you. It's been a long road to get here. I deserve this. I'm proud that I got this far. And thank you, Lord, for covering me, keeping me, and pushing me forward. And thank you all for always supporting me, even in the times where I was quiet and it didn't look like I was working. Everyone always had amazing things to say for me, especially on Instagram, my community. Thank you. I'm going to get drunk tonight.
Woo! EGOT! I love this. I love this. I love that you have rehearsed it. You have visualized it.
Yes.
Victoria said she was doing like this before she got the Grammy. So now I'm just going to practice it. I'm practicing all types of things. Yeah. I'm like,
Period.
You bought the a ring. I can't wait.
Yes.
I don't know where he is, but he's coming. Okay. Yes. Okay. So my last question for real now is there the space between who we are and who we want to become is sacred. As in your healing journey, what were the most effective words or beliefs that you had to learn to create this version of who you are now?
It's okay to cry, be vulnerable. You're right where you're supposed to be, even if you don't feel like it. What's the most significant? What's the one thing that I do say to myself? I think God hasn't brought you this far to leave you now. And you're going to look back and see why everything had to happen the way that it did.
Amber Riley, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, thank you so much.
Thank
Before
you.
We go, we have some flowers for you.
Flowers!
Because not only is it your birthday, because we got a little special thing for you as well, but I love giving flowers to people.
Oh.
Especially as they come on this show, and it's your birthday.
Pink
and
is my power color right
you
now.
You love pink.
Ah!
And I just am so grateful that you exist. And we were joking, but honestly, I saw myself in you in Glee. I see myself in you, even in Single Black Females. Sometimes you gotta get crazy. But I think the most important thing you give us is the reality that, like, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, who you are right now is enough, and what you want to be is absolutely the dream you should keep working for. You are such a beautiful representation of all that is good in this world and all that is light. And when you say yes, you have people on Instagram that are ready to fight for you. I am one of them. You ever need us, you let us know. But I love you so much.
I love you. And can I say that I've been like so excited to come and do this.
Please don't make me
Hill Girl Podcast is so amazing. When I saw, you know, I love Kelly. Danny is my girl. That's my
girl.
Oh, my God. And so, like, you're doing amazing work.
Thank you. I love you so much.
You are such a light.
Thank you, sister.
And you're going to kill it.
Thank you, baby.
Already are, but.
And we got to say, happy birthday.
Come on, Tanner.
To you. Everybody, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Amber. Happy birthday to you. Yeah! Because I was waiting for her to give us a note. I was really waiting. Happy
Thank
birthday.
You. Oh, I'm gonna
make a wish.
Up.
Yeah, make a wish.
Oh.
Yeah. Screaming to the mic. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to Healed Girl Era, the podcast. Amber Riley has just blessed us with so much. Y'all make sure you check out Single Black Female 2. I hear we got new music coming. Follow The with two E Rileys, right? The Riley on Instagram?
You can follow Miss Amber P. Riley.
Miss Amber P. Riley.
Yeah.
You follow that account
for
that. Everything. Because Riley, the EP, is streaming as well right now. You can get you some good music off of that one. BGE, period. So make sure you guys check out all of that and support our girl Amber. Subscribe here for more. I'm Gia Peppers. We'll see you next time.
Yay!
Oh, I love it.
You have like the best name.
Mommy and Daddy did that.
They did that.
They really did eat that
they
up.
Really.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.